Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poore, and my guest today is my returning guest from a few days ago, Phil Bailey. And Phil
Hi,
is here
Cynthia.
To pay. Hi. Phil is here to pay tribute to Ed Day, who passed away yesterday. So you guys worked together, I'm sure, on Channel 13 for quite a while, right?
Yes, we did. And, yeah, thank you for having me on the show again. That was not our plan. You know, I've been on recently promoting my book, but I just, when you asked me to, you know, talk about Ed, I couldn't resist because he was just such a fine guy. Ed was really the conscience of the newsroom at News Channel 13. He was the guy we would go to. I would certainly go to if there was an issue I just couldn't resolve myself. You know, I'd seek out his advice. My desk was right by his office door, and he always seemed to have the right answer. It's kind of remarkable. I thought, I will never be in that position. He just always has the right answer. And so, you know, I leaned on him when, you know, just in the important times. It wasn't, you know, like I had to, you know, run to him every day and ask for permission or, you know, to do something or, well, what do you think about this? But when I was in a jam, I'd go to Ed and he'd always provide me with the right answer. Very smart guy, very compassionate man, funny, you know, sensitive.
So he didn't go to college for journalism and he started
out.
No,
he was going to be an engineer. He was going to be an engineer, and he went to he enrolled at RPI to do that. And but he really felt he got involved in the as I remember him telling me, he got involved in the radio station WRPI, and just fell in love with it. Really got interested, and started working in radio news while he was in school, and that led to television, and never looked back. I know he was very happy with his choice, the path he chose in life.
So did you guys ever collaborate on important stories of the day?
You know, one of the, yes, the short answer is yes, and especially because Ed loved politics. And I was the political reporter at News Channel 13 for quite a while. And once Mike Moran left. And Ed loved politics. So we would talk about that a lot. I'd sit in his office quite a bit, and we'd talk about what was going on, what I had learned. You know, Ed was very astute politically. And we, in fact, if you remember, Tim Russert with NBC News, who was just a remarkable political mind and political interviewer. And Tim, when he was around, he would stop in, and he liked to visit with Ed. I was happy, you know, he'd say hi to me and we'd talk a little bit. But, I mean, he liked to talk with Ed. He liked to get caught up with Ed and see what was going on in Albany. Ed loved politics. He was fascinated by Erastus Corning, the former mayor of Albany. I believe he conducted the last interview with Erastus Corning. I could be wrong, but I think that is true.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's funny. I maintained a Facebook blog, if you will, while I was at News Channel 13. So I'd post something every day. And I haven't touched it or even thought about it in the 2 years I've retired. I took time, you know, for a couple of weeks to respond to all the well-wishers and the lovely notes people left. And so I thanked them all. And then that was it. I literally hadn't touched it. But I posted something yesterday because of Ed's passing, and my wife had told me even recently that Facebook page was still active, even though I had never touched it. But I wanted to post something about Ed's passing because I was just that moved by it. And so I posted a picture of Ed and I in New Hampshire. You know, your responsibilities as an anchor pretty much tie you to that desk. Or at least to the newsroom. It's a big responsibility. There are a lot of decisions to be made, that sort of thing. But Ed loved to report, and so And I was fortunate enough to go out and cover political primaries and political conventions, you know, that sort of thing, presidential conventions, you know. And so Ed wanted to come to New Hampshire for the primary one year. And so we worked it together, which was a lot of fun. And I know he thoroughly enjoyed it. So I posted a picture on that Facebook page of Ed and I in New Hampshire working together. I think it was 1996. So, okay. Yes, we did get to work together, and it was always a joy, a great guy to collaborate with, and, you know, always gave you elbow room, you know. I was allowed to, I mean, he was at Digg. He was the, you know, I think his role, I mean, not only anchor, but I think he was executive editor or a title like that with the news and all that. So really what he said goes. And there were times, you know, not too many, but there were times when he said no. He said, nope, it's not an interesting story. And I kind of just have to bite my lip because I thought it was. But, you know, said Dag, and he gets to make the call. And so, okay. But he gave you a lot of elbow room, you know. He wanted to hear what you had to say and what your idea was. And, I mean, 90% of the time, probably more, he told me, yeah, go with it. That's great.
Now, I remember Ed Digg and Chris Capistacci working together for years. I'm sure they had a really good chemistry, right?
They had a very good chemistry on and off camera. I mean, they were friends. I think they were. I think I saw Chris said they worked together for 11 years, which sounds about right. Up until she left for, you know, NBC Network. And I think, I have no doubt she learned a lot, you know, from Ed. We all learned a lot from Ed. Like I say, he was really a pleasure to work with. He really was a nice man, on and off air, you know, professionally and otherwise. It's a tough business. And, you know, you're going to get into arguments sometimes in the newsroom, because you believe in something strongly and you're dealing, you know, with some important issues. But Ed was really easy to get along with. And always a pleasure. You know, I can't think of a single time, you know, or I don't have a single memory of, you know, thinking that, you know, anything, but that Ed was just smart and a nice guy and a real pleasure to work with.
So since he went to college for engineering and he wound up in journalism, do you believe that people have an innate sense, a talent for news and reporting and stuff? Because his background was not in news or reporting.
True. And, you know, I think he would have been very good in engineering or science. He was fascinated by science, too. Sometimes he wanted to bring up, you know, theories about the black hole and that, you know, just when we're talking. It's like, oh, boy, you know, this is getting over my head. And he was interested in so many things. And like I say, loved politics. He loved history. Fascinated by the Battle of Saratoga. Of course, our proximity to the battlefield certainly led itself to that. So his arrival at the decision to become a journalist may have been similar to mine. I don't know. I don't think we ever talked about it, but I was also turned, you know, I could easily have become a wildlife game manager, like for the state or something. I was living out in Colorado and I decided to become a journalist, and I could have been very happy out tracking and protecting, you know, bighorn sheep and bear and moose and and elk. One of the great things about our business is that it allows you to sort of be a lot of things. So I know, Ed, I liked to do history pieces. You know, I had to tie them into our viewers and impress upon them that there's a reason this is important to you, even if it happened 200 years ago. But it helps explain our footprint, you know, our sense of community, and viewers always seem to like it. And Ed always did. Ed always liked the historic pieces.
You know, no matter what it is, an illness, a debilitating problem, such as he has, it must have been difficult towards the end before he left Channel 13. It must have been difficult for him to work through the pain and be a good journalist at the same time. Did you ever realize that he was not very well?
Well, first of all, it's the reason he left journalism. He got so uncomfortable that it became, to him, a distraction, too big a distraction. And yes, I was aware of the pain he was in, I think from, you know, within a few days of when I met him in 1986. He was in his 40s then. This form of arthritis, this rare form of arthritis, was really debilitating. And people don't realize how much pain, how he dealt with pain, and how he just tried to, you know, bowl through it. And he did. At some point, people said, and I forget what people would say, well, he looks stiff on the air when he turns. And that was the arthritis. When he'd come out of his office to talk with me, he'd lean against the wall. I mean, it was his office, the door, a wall, and then my desk. And as was Chris Capostasi's. If he turned to the right, he could go to Chris Capostasi's office. But he'd have to lean against the wall to just make it a little more comfortable and help him stand upright if he wasn't moving. It was bad. And it just such a shame. And I remember thinking that, you know, instantly. I said, my God, this guy is so vital, so smart, and so young, and he's fighting this thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw the tweet that Chris Capostasi wrote. I read the article in the paper. What would you like to tell everybody listening? What would you like to tell how Ed Degg should be remembered?
You know, there are so many things. And I mean, most of all, he was just such a fine man. The man you respected on television was the man that you got off television to. He was very good at just being himself. So he was funny. He was smart. He was inquisitive. He achieved a great deal. And that, was a cause for a lot of the respect that I think people are seeing now that for Ed within the journalism community. I mean, journalism and that, you know, there's a lot of ego in it. There's a lot of A-type personalities. People aren't always nice when they talk about someone else, but they all like that. And they're all, you know, this praise that he is getting is well-deserved, and I think it is universal. You know, when I arrived at WNYT in 1986, Ed had been there for about a year and a half. Channel 13 was a distant number three in the ratings, and it was they were calling it News for Busy People then, which is actually pretty clever. And it was rare for any anchor in this business, in the news industry, television news industry, it's rare for any anchor to move to a new TV station and reverse a losing trend there. But Ed's timing was perfect. Channel 13 had a good product and good leadership. And when Ed arrived at News Channel 13, he not only brought his intelligence and sense of what the viewers were interested in, but he brought credibility to Channel 13. He'd been a winner at Channel 6, and it was a lot of fun to be at News Channel 13 and, you know, help, you know, Ed turn it around, you know, into a winner.
That's great. So in our closing moments, Phil, I know you have a busy day today. Plug your book again.
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to tell you one other story, though, and thank you very much. Then I'll plug my book, because it occurred to me, and I kind of forgotten at the moment, but Ed's departure is how I became the morning anchor at News Channel 13. When Ed's arthritis got so bad and he left, he didn't say, I'm leaving for good, I'm retiring. He said, I need a break. I just got to feel better, and then I'll be back. And at the time, Jim Cambrick was the morning anchor, doing a great job. People loved him, as they do now. And I was a reporter, and I loved being a reporter. I did not want to anchor. And periodically through my career, I had turned down anchoring positions, you know, offers, because I just loved reporting. Anyway, but they knew I got up really early to go work out at the gym, literally. You know, I'd get up at 5 and go work out. So I think they just figured, you know, he's the only guy who can get up that early in the morning. And they asked me, would you fill in as morning anchor until Ed comes back? And then, you know, Jim will come back to the morning and you can go back to reporting. I thought, well, sure, you know, anything to help the situation, anything to help the channel. So, you know, Ed never was able to come back. And I loved working with Paul Kiano. And it was an interesting new challenge, you know, that anchor position, that morning show. So it all turned out right. I mean, I loved anchoring the morning, and but that's how it came about. It was Ed, you know, because of Ed's departure, premature departure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So before we sign off, plug your book.
Okay, plug my book. My book is called Murder on Skis. It is a murder mystery about a television journalist who is dispatched to Montana, to a ski resort in Montana, to cover an investigation into a number of mysterious deaths. I think people will find it a lot of fun to read. It's got a lot. It's got you know, it's got adventure and it's got skiing. Skiers will love it, but I think any murder mystery readers will love it. You know, it's got some romance. You know, so I think I hope people will enjoy it. You can order it now at from Northshire Books or from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to my website at MurderOnSkis.com and get more information. It'll be on bookshelves in the next couple of days. They told me it'll be there in time for Black Friday.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, Phil, for being on Focus on Albany. You have been listening to Phil Bailey, who has paid tribute to Ed Daig. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Phil, thank you so much for being on Focus on Albany and taking the time to talk. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cynthia.